Welcome to this deep dive.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring advanced phishing, scams, and digital fraud.
It is a massive topic.
It really is. And if you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Exactly.
Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Which is so needed right now.
Right. So I want you to imagine waking up, grabbing your phone off the nightstand, and seeing that your bank balance is just zero. Absolute zero.
The ultimate nightmare scenario.
Yeah, and the crazy part is, it's not because, like, some underground team of master hackers broke through a million-dollar corporate firewall. It's because they sent you a simple 12-word text message.
And you clicked it.
Exactly. You clicked it.
Because, you know, the human brain is incredibly efficient, but it's also, honestly, the ultimate security vulnerability.
Yeah.
We are so far past the era of those obvious, poorly spelled emails from fake royalty asking for gift cards.
Oh, man, the classics.
Right. But today, we are dealing with highly targeted, engineered manipulation. It's designed to completely bypass your logic.
Which means the stakes are incredibly high for anyone listening.
They're very high. I mean, we are looking at catastrophic financial loss, hijacked accounts, and deep malware infections that can just tear through entire networks.
And don't forget the reputational damage.
Oh, exactly. Reputational damage that can honestly derail a young professional's career before it even gets off the ground.
Which brings us to the whole mission of this deep dive. We really want to shift you from a place of anxiety because it is scary to a place of empowerment.
Right. Because once you understand the mechanics, you can defend yourself.
Exactly. If you're preparing for a digitally enabled future, you have to understand how these threats operate. Because, like, once you see the machinery behind the magic trick, it just loses all its power over you.
I love that analogy, the magic trick.
Thanks. So let's skip the basic definitions. We all know what standard phishing is, right?
Yeah, casting a wide net.
Right. I want to look at the advanced stuff, specifically how cyber criminals are using open source intelligence or OSINT. To really craft these attacks.
Yeah, OSINT just completely changes the game. Attackers aren't throwing random nets anymore. They are actively mining your public digital footprint.
Just scraping everything.
Everything. They look at your LinkedIn to see who your manager is. They check your Twitter to see, you know, what conference you just attended.
I read they even check public Venmo transactions.
Oh, absolutely. They want to see who you split dinner with last night.
Yeah.
And then they take all those scattered data points and synthesize them into a spear phishing campaign that feels, well, incredibly intimate.
And totally legitimate.
Exactly.
Like, I was reading this case where an attacker sent an email pretending to be a vendor, and they actually referenced a specific conversation the target had at a trade show the day before.
Wow.
Yeah. Simply because the target had posted a photo of the vendor's booth on Instagram.
And see, when an email has that level of personalized context, our defenses just naturally drop.
We assume it has to be real.
We do. And that assumption is basically the bedrock of advanced social engineering.
So break down social engineering for us.
Sure. At its core, it's just the psychological manipulation of people to gain access to systems or data.
So it's the magician's misdirection.
Yes. Cybercriminals aren't hacking computer code anymore. They are hacking human psychology.
That is such a wild concept.
It is.
Yeah.
They know that no matter how sophisticated a company's digital firewall is, they can walk right through the front door if they can just, you know, trigger a specific biological response in your brain.
The biological response is the part that fascinates me. We're really talking about an amygdala hijack here.
Precisely.
Because when you get an email that creates this massive sense of urgency, like, I don't know, a notification that your tuition is past due and your bank account is locked, your brain detects a literal threat.
Right. Your amygdala just lights up.
Yeah, it processes that fear, and it floods your system with stress hormones.
And in that state, that fight or flight mode, your executive function just basically goes offline.
You literally stop thinking clearly.
Right. The prefrontal cortex, which handles logic, critical thinking, risk assessment, it's physically overridden by the panic.
So they're artificially inducing a panic attack to make you click.
Exactly. The attacker's entire goal is to keep you in that heightened emotional state just long enough to get what they want.
Just long enough for you to authorize a wire transfer or hand over a password.
Right. They want you reacting, not thinking.
They're literally weaponizing our biology against us.
They really are.
So, okay, knowing that our critical thinking can be short-circuited like this, we obviously need some robust prevention strategies.
Absolutely.
The standard advice is always, you know, don't click unknown links and verify the website URL.
Right.
But I actually have to push back on that second point a bit.
Mm.
Because in the current landscape, just looking at a URL to confirm it's authentic, that feels like obsolete advice.
I would agree with that. It's certainly not the silver bullet used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The visual verification methods we relied on 10 years ago are just failing us now.
Right, because of things like homograph attacks.
Yes, those are brutal.
For those listening, a homograph attack is where an attacker registers a domain that looks identical to, say, your bank's website. But they replace the standard Latin letter E with a Cyrillic letter E.
Which looks exactly the same to the naked eye.
Right. Visually, it is a perfect match.
Wow.
And your browser might even show that little padlock icon because the attacker bothered to get an SSL certificate for their fake domain.
They secure the fake site.
Yeah. So if my heart rate is spiking because I think my bank account is frozen and the URL looks 100% perfect, how do I actually defend myself in that moment?
You have to adopt the concept of zero trust architecture, but like on a personal psychological level.
Okay, zero trust. Break that down for us.
So in enterprise security, zero trust literally means never trust, always verify.
Right.
For you as an individual, it means you must independently verify suspicious messages through an out-of-band communication channel.
Out-of-band communication.
Yes. You have to break the loop the attacker designed for you.
Okay, so out-of-band basically means you step completely outside the environment that the attacker controls.
That is the essential mechanism. So say you receive an urgent text from a delivery service claiming your package is stuck in customs and there's a fee.
A super common one.
Very common. You do not tap the link in that text. You don't reply to the number.
Right, because that's their turf.
Exactly. You close the text app entirely. You open a web browser, manually type in the delivery company's actual known web address, and track your package from their official dashboard.
You go around the obstacle.
Yes. Or if you get a terrifying email from your IT department saying you need to reset your password immediately, you don't click their link. You pick up the phone, look up the IT desk extension in the company directory, and call them.
You take the context back. You force the interaction onto a battlefield that you control, rather than playing by their rules.
Independent verification neutralizes the social engineering attack immediately.
Because if the emergency is real, they'll just confirm it.
Exactly. The bank or the IT department will say, yes, we need you to do this. But if it's a scam, the whole illusion just falls apart instantly.
I love that. Let's apply this zero trust mindset to a real world scenario. Because there's a fascinating case study about a university student being targeted by a really sophisticated payment request.
Oh, this is a perfect illustration of the amygdala hijack in action.
Walk us through it.
So, a student receives this highly official-looking email claiming their final tuition payment is overdue.
Stressful already.
Right. And the message states that if a wire transfer isn't initiated within 24 hours, they will be dropped from all their classes.
Wow.
The email has the university's exact branding, correct department names, and a super convenient link to a payment portal.
That is the ultimate urgency trigger. Your entire academic career is suddenly on the line. The physiological response is just pure panic.
And the attacker is completely counting on that panic. They want the student to rush through the transaction without thinking.
But the student didn't.
No, they didn't. The student actually recognized the physiological signs. They noticed their own panic and identified that artificial time pressure as a massive red flag.
Which is brilliant.
It is. So instead of clicking the link to just quickly resolve their anxiety, they used independent verification.
They stepped out of the band.
Exactly. They stepped away from the email entirely. They opened a new browser tab, navigated to the university's main website, found the financial aid office's official phone number, and called them directly.
And what happened?
The financial aid office confirmed that the student's account was fine.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, they were in perfect standing. The email was actually part of a broader spear phishing campaign targeting the whole student body.
That cognitive pause literally saved them thousands of dollars.
Yes, it did.
And for anyone listening who is preparing for a future in a digitally enabled workplace, this exact scenario is going to be your reality.
Without a doubt.
Just swap out the words tuition payment for vendor invoice.
Right. Business email compromise, or BEC, is one of the most financially devastating forms of digital fraud today.
It's everywhere.
It really is. In a remote or decentralized workspace, you don't have the luxury of just walking down the hall to ask your CEO if they really sent that email.
Right, asking if they actually need $50,000 wired for a secret acquisition.
Exactly. The scammers spoof the executive's email address, they apply massive time pressure, and they always demand absolute secrecy.
Which is terrifying,
Yeah.
because if getting a fake email from your bank is scary, getting one from your boss's boss is a whole different level of pressure.
Oh, absolutely. The pressure to comply immediately, to show you're an efficient team player, it's immense.
Which is exactly why independent verification is basically a core competency for modern professionals now.
It has to be. In a distributed digital network, the traditional corporate firewall isn't the primary defense anymore.
You are.
Yes, you are the perimeter. Your ability to recognize the emotional manipulation, hit pause, and verify a weird request through a secondary channel.
Like just sending a quick Slack message to the executive's assistant.
Exactly. That small action is what prevents catastrophic corporate fraud.
And this really brings up a crucial point about responsible use and, you know, our collective digital responsibility.
Yeah, it's not just about you.
Right. Falling for a scam isn't just an isolated personal mistake anymore. When we talked earlier about reputational damage, it extends way beyond just the individual.
We all operate in highly interconnected digital ecosystems. And honestly, this is the essence of ethical digital citizenship.
How so?
While your personal security practices have a direct impact on the safety of your broader network, if you fall victim to a phishing attack and your credentials get compromised, the attacker doesn't just stop with your data.
Right. They use your trusted account to launch lateral attacks.
Exactly. You effectively become digital patient zero.
That is a chilling phrase. Digital patient zero.
It is, but it's accurate. They weaponize your identity. They'll use your university email to send malware to your study group.
Or your corporate Slack account to request sensitive files from HR.
Yes. Because the request is coming from inside the house, from a trusted entity, the success rate of those secondary attacks just skyrockets.
It really fundamentally changes how we have to view digital hygiene.
It does.
Like protecting your passwords and verifying links isn't just about guarding your own checking account. It is a profound act of protecting your colleagues, your classmates, your organization's sensitive data.
Because if you fail to verify, you become the vehicle for the attack.
Exactly. You expose your whole community to malware and operational disruption.
The responsibility is huge. The digital choices you make literally resonate through the entire network.
So for everyone listening, I really want you to internalize that shift in perspective. Think about how your personal digital safety impacts the broader community you belong to.
It's a team sport.
It really is. When you are rushing to clear out your inbox on a Friday afternoon, remember that your vigilance is basically the shield for everyone in your contact list.
But you know, building that vigilance requires moving from abstract concepts to tangible habits.
And using the right tools.
Yes, utilizing the right technological tools.
Let's dive into those tools.
Right.
Because, I mean, critical thinking is our first line of defense, sure. But human beings get tired.
We get very tired. We get distracted.
Exactly. We need automated systems that act as a safety net when our brain slips up. Making verification a reflex is step one. But what practical tools should we be integrating?
Well, the foundational tool for any connected professional has to be Google Safe Browsing or whatever equivalent built-in browser protection you have.
Okay, how does that help?
It essentially operates as an early warning system.
Oh, right. Because it's constantly cross-referencing your web traffic against these massive updated databases of known malicious domains.
Exactly. So if you're tired and you accidentally click a bad link in an email, the browser intercepts the request.
And throws up that giant glaring red warning screen.
Yes, before the page can even load and execute any malicious scripts.
Which buys you that cognitive pause we talked about.
Right. It forcefully breaks the cycle and makes you stop and reassess.
That's incredibly helpful.
It is. Now, the second tool, which is crucial for dealing with suspicious files and attachments, is VirusTotal.
I find VirusTotal fascinating because it goes way beyond just having a standard antivirus program on your laptop.
Oh, absolutely. A traditional antivirus just relies on its own specific set of definitions to catch malware.
But cybercriminals are constantly tweaking their code to evade those specific definitions, right?
Yes. They use polymorphic code. It literally changes its signature to slip past standard defenses.
Well, I mean, that's why VirusTotal is such a powerful countermeasure.
It is?
Because when you get an unexpected PDF or a weird link, instead of opening it, you upload it to the VirusTotal website.
Right.
And it doesn't just scan the file with one engine. It sandboxes it and analyzes it across, what, 70 or 80 different heuristic engines simultaneously.
Yes, it basically aggregates the intelligence of the entire global cybersecurity community in a matter of seconds.
Which gives you a much clearer picture of the actual risk. And like, if a file comes back with zero detections across 80 engines, you can be pretty confident it's safe.
Right. And it also helps with false positives.
Yeah. If only one obscure engine flags it, it might just be a poorly coded macro, not necessarily a Trojan.
Exactly. It gives you the actual data you need to make an informed decision instead of just blindly trusting a file because your personal antivirus stayed quiet.
It's an indispensable tool for that independent verification step.
It really is. And the third tool is perhaps the most vital for long-term digital resilience.
The password manager.
Yes. A dedicated password manager like Bitwarden, which is highly recommended.
Password managers are just non-negotiable for future professionals at this point.
Absolutely non-negotiable.
But I feel like a lot of people misunderstand how they actually protect against phishing.
How do you mean?
Well, they just think of a password manager as this secure digital vault that remembers complex passwords so you don't have to reuse the same one everywhere.
Which is important, yes.
Right. Eliminating password reuse stops those lateral attacks. But the password manager actually serves as a physical block against social engineering.
Yes, through the autofill feature.
This is my favorite part. I like to compare a password manager to a highly specific valet key.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Right, so if you use the same password for your email, your bank, and your corporate network, you're basically using a master key for your whole life.
Which is a terrible idea.
Awful. Because if a phisher tricks you into handing it over, they own your entire digital existence. But a password manager generates a unique, complex valet key for every single door.
And it will only insert that valet key into the exact lock it was cut for.
That's the mechanism. The autofill engine doesn't look at the visual branding of a website. It doesn't care if the site has your bank's logo.
Or the right shade of corporate blue.
Exactly. It looks exclusively at the underlying DNS registry, the actual structural domain.
So going back to our discussion about homograph attacks.
Right, where the Cyrillic keys makes the URL look visually perfect to a human.
Right. Your brain might be completely fooled. The amygdala hijack is in full effect. You are panicking, trying to log in to stop a transfer.
But your password manager is totally immune to panic.
Completely immune.
It scans the underlying domain, realizes this homograph URL does not perfectly match the real bank URL in its database, and it simply refuses to autofill your credentials.
It acts as an objective, emotionless bouncer.
That is exactly what it is, an emotionless bouncer.
And when the autofill fails, that serves as a massive, glaring red flag that you are on a deceptive site. It breaks the attacker's illusion through pure mechanical logic.
So these three tools, Google Safe Browsing, catching known threats, VirusTotal giving you deep heuristic analysis, and Bitwarden neutralizing homograph attacks, they are the ultimate digital safety gear.
They really are.
But they don't replace your need for critical thinking.
No, not at all.
It's like a harness doesn't replace the need for a rock climber to carefully choose their handholds.
Yeah.
But they provide this deeply layered safety net that catches you when you inevitably slip.
Because technology is a powerful ally, but only when paired with an informed human operator.
Right.
The attacker's entire goal is to separate you from your logic. Your goal, supported by these tools, is to maintain your context and verify reality.
Man, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've moved from the psychological mechanics of fear manipulation to the highly technical defense mechanisms.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. But as we zoom out and look at the big picture of lifelong learning and digital adaptability, it's pretty clear that this battlefield is anything but static.
Yeah, the evolution of these threats is accelerating so rapidly.
It's kind of scary.
The tactics we consider advanced today are going to be completely rudimentary tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Especially with AI.
Exactly. The integration of generative AI into cybercrime allows attackers to produce flawless, highly personalized phishing text at a scale we've never seen.
And we're already seeing voice cloning and deepfake video technology being deployed in those business email compromise scenarios we talked about.
Yes, it's happening right now.
Like, imagine receiving an urgent voicemail that sounds exactly like your CEO. Or joining a quick video huddle where a deepfake of your manager urgently asks you to transfer funds.
It means the visual and auditory cues we've relied on for our entire evolutionary history to establish trust are being systematically undermined.
Which means the fundamental principle we've discussed today, that independent, out-of-band verification is transitioning from just a best practice to an absolute survival skill in the future workplace.
It really is. You cannot trust the medium anymore. You have to verify the message through an independent channel.
Because as the deception becomes more technologically advanced, your defense has to rely on the one thing algorithms cannot easily replicate: disciplined critical thinking.
Beautifully said.
Thank you. So as you move forward in your digital life, in your career, I really want to leave you with a reflection prompt from this lesson. I want you to mull this over on your own. How can critical thinking and digital awareness help prevent online scams and fraud as technology becomes even more advanced?
The answers you develop to that question are really going to shape your resilience in this highly connected, increasingly complex digital world.
So we encourage you to stay endlessly curious. Embrace your role as a responsible digital citizen and stay future ready by continuously updating your mental models.
Don't let the sophistication of modern scams intimidate you. Let it motivate you.
Yes, let it motivate you to master the mechanics of your own digital safety.
And to solidify all the concepts and tools we've discussed today, please make sure you review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities associated with this lesson.
Translating this knowledge into practice is how you build that lasting digital muscle memory.
Exactly.
Finally, we want to acknowledge the foundational reference materials that provided the broader academic and historical context for our discussion today.
Some really great books.
Yeah, to explore the evolution of these threats even deeper, we highly recommend reading The Art of Deception, published in 2002 by Kevin Mitnick, Future Crimes, published in 2015 by Mark Goodman, and Cybersecurity and Cyber War, published in 2014 by P.W. Singer and Alan Friedman.
They offer brilliant insights into the enduring vulnerabilities of human psychology.
They really do. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay vigilant, always verify, and have a great rest of your day.